Welcome to Through the Word, Psalm 77, a psalm about a sleepless night and anxious questions. The psalmist can't get to sleep. Tossing and turning, his body's exhausted, but his mind is restless. Restless with questions, anxieties. Verse 1, I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. He feels unheard. He has questions, but no answers. At night, his arms involuntarily reach up from his bed, like a child reaching out to a parent to be picked up. He marvels that he's that desperate, that his hands reached up without even noticing, but his hands are untiring hands. Like a child when something is seriously wrong, he can't be comforted. In those moments, people tell us, hey, go to God. Cast your anxieties on him, as if it's the easiest thing in the world. But it's not that easy. He's cried out to God. He sought the Lord. But now, in verse 3, he remembers God. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated and my spirit grew faint. Remembering God didn't help. He remembers God, but that's not working. So he meditates and it makes him worse. I meditated and my spirit grew faint. Why? The psalmist has underlying doubts, questions, unresolved frustrations with how things are. Remembering God, I groaned. As if he's asking, God, I remember you, but did you change? Because you're sure not acting like how I read about in the Bible. Maybe you've wondered something like this before. God, why did you used to work in people's lives, but you don't seem to act like that now? The psalmist remembers God and is discouraged at first. But let's keep reading. Verse 4. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. In his mercy, God doesn't let him have sleep. Sometimes God wants us to wrestle with him a bit, like Jacob did when he wrestled with the angel. Have you ever been there? Sleepless questions, wrestling to reconcile what you believe in your heart, but what you see with your eyes, he keeps remembering. Verse 5. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. How great it used to be, long ago, the former days. He's looking back to the times he's read about, the lives of Abraham, perhaps, or Moses. Life seemed to be great back then. He keeps remembering. Verse 6. I remembered my songs in the night. Laying awake in his bed, he remembers the songs he sang about the greatness of God and how God always came through for people in yesteryear. But like Bono from U2 once sang, sometimes I wake at 4 in the morning when all the darkness is swarming and all my innocence has died. Dark thoughts haunting him, he begins to cycle through the tough questions, questions he may not have allowed himself to ask in the waking hours. But here in the darkness, those questions keep coming. He doesn't just remember songs from his childhood about God's goodness, his greatness. Now he asks questions. Let's continue the verse. My heart meditated and my spirit asked. Verse 7. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? These questions are rhetorical. He has to ask these questions because he needs to know. Of course, the answer to all of these is no. God's not forgotten how to be merciful. But if you avoid the hard questions, you'll never get good answers. After a series of questions, he finally comes to a breakthrough. This is why God wouldn't give him sleep. Why he wouldn't allow the weariness of his body to take him. God was addressing the weariness of his soul. Verse 10, then I thought, to this I will appeal. the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. In verse 5, he looks back to the days of long ago when life was great. But here, he sees that God was great. And that God is still here. I will appeal to this. Asaph finds the thread. God is still great, even if life isn't. But God being great makes it great here, too, in the present. Life was hard then, too, in the former times. But the win was that a good God didn't abandon his people in tough times. And therefore, he must still be with us, even when it doesn't seem like it. But lying there in the darkness, still on his bed, with untiring hands reaching out, he makes a determination in verse 12. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is great as our God. Asaph is still lying there in the dark. Still in the darkness, nothing has changed. But Asaph has changed because he realizes God never changes. Your ways are holy. That means different. You don't act like men or pagan gods. But God, sometimes I have to confess, I don't know how you work. The question that we all need to ask, can we trust God when we can't trace him? Can we trust God in the dark when we can't see what he's doing? Verse 14, you are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. In other words, this is who you are. Therefore, this is what you do. If that's what you have done, then it surely must be what you will do. For the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the psalmist keeps remembering. But the more he remembers, the more he's encouraged. Verse 15. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. Interesting that he mentions those two. Jacob and Joseph both had some dark times where they didn't know what God was doing, but their stories ended well. They had long protracted periods of needing to simply wait on God and trust in dark times. And then, like the storm that rises suddenly on the sea, God changed the landscape for them in a moment. The calm seas turned turbulent. The night sky ripped open, and God put on a show. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. Unlike the famous poem, we don't always get to see God's footprints. No, we can't always trace him, but he's always there. The elements in this picture of God walking through the sea bend around him. We don't see the invisible God, but we see the effects of his presence. And then, verse 20, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And here we end with God as a shepherd, leading his people through the darkness. Dark times, ravenous wolves, danger, but also protection, provision, guidance, safety, and peace. My friend, you're safe in the dark. God is still there. You can't see him, but he's right beside you. The storm may be raging all around, and God may be invisible, but that is what faith is. Confidence in things not seen.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.